afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. This is Lori Backus sitting in for your host, Jim Madonna, who is away from town for right now. He's from the University of Alaska Fairbanks Mining Extension. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. More specifically, though, gold mining in Alaska's misty past, controversial present, and mysterious future. I'll be with you here on KFAR 660 on your radio dial. Jim will be here each Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. I'll be here at other times where we can discuss the entire spectrum of mining in Alaska, from the fascinating and colorful history of the major and minor gold rushes to the most recent gold prospecting and mining techniques. We can discuss such topics as you can become rich and famous by making a fabulous gold discovery, or perhaps the role of education in the Alaskan mining industry. And of course, we'll have special guests to discuss different mining-related topics. Some will discuss where the Earth's hidden treasures might be found, while others will tell us the rules we must follow to extract them. But most of all, my friends, give us a call if you have a question or care to make a comment on mining in Alaska. We would especially like to hear from some of you early pioneers. I know many of you must have some fascinating stories that perhaps you wouldn't mind sharing with us. So if you just want to chat for a few minutes or want to share one of your favorite frontier experiences, give us a call. The number to call is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. And let's talk about gold mining through the years along Alaska Gold Trails. First of all, I'd like to let you know that Alaska Gold Trails is sponsored by Gold Nugget Taxi. And Gold Nugget Taxi is a firm advocate of an educated Alaska mining industry. And they fully support the placer miners in their effort to provide a stable, healthy industry for Fairbanks and interior Alaska. If you're looking for value in transportation, call Golden Nugget Taxi at 451-TAXI. That's 451-8294. Remember, Golden Nugget Taxi believes a working community is a healthy community. Let's work together to keep our mining industry strong. A message from Golden Nugget Taxi, which offers reasonable rates and courteous, friendly service. When you need transportation, call Golden Nugget Taxi at 451-8294. That's 451-TAXI. And by the way, tell them you heard of their support for the industry from Lori on KFAR's Alaska Gold Trails. This afternoon, my guest is Michael Dresser, sitting in for, let me see,
Bob Hamilton,
yeah. Who unfortunately is in the hospital right now and couldn't make it.
So actually what happened was we don't have a guest, but the inimitable Mr. Stu Rothman is going to be calling about 1:30 or so, and he's got a tremendous amount of stories. And unfortunately, our guest that was supposed to be here is in the hospital, so we don't have a guest today, and I didn't do any mining, and neither did Lori, so we'll see at 3.
I panned for some gold at one time out on a creek.
Let's get excited.
Let's get excited. Let's get excited.
I don't know the answer to this, so somebody has to be honest out there. We'll give dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike for who can tell us where the largest gold nugget in the world is, and how much does it weigh? 479-8255.
How are we going to know if they're right?
We're not. We're just going to have to trust everybody.
Okay.
Okay.
That's a dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike. They're located right off of Cushman Street Bridge, right across the street from the Daily News Miner, right next to Samson Hardware. Let's give everybody a plug.
Give them a shot.
Come on, folks. Give us a call. The largest gold nugget. Where's it at? Who found it? What does it look like? What can we make it into? We've got a caller on the line. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for calling.
Brazil.
How big was it?
I don't know. It was a super jumbo. It was so big that they didn't melt it down and sell it. They saved it.
Okay.
Super jumbo nugget.
Okay. Wendy says super jumbo nugget from Brazil.
Yeah.
Okay.
It came from a mine down there.
Yeah.
It's an open pit mine. And what they've done, the miners staked this thing out, and the claims are about 10 feet by 10 feet. People go down in there, dig that, hand carry it,
really?
No less, out of the bottom of this open pit, and run it through whatever they do to sluice it out. And it was on TV a couple of months ago. That's how I knew.
That's how you knew it was, and they said it was a super jumbo gold nugget.
I don't know, I think it was 4 or 5 pounds or something like that. Right. I don't know what size it was.
Wendy down. We've got you for dinner for two at Laura's. Catch the next call, and we'll see what they get.
Okay,
thanks.
Thanks,
bye.
Wendy. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello?
Oh, they hung up.
Aww.
We were going to do a consolation prize.
We were.
Yeah, it could have been dinner for two in France, any night you wanted.
Well,
but they don't want to call
$1,000 airfare. the whole
no,
nine
no,
yards.
No, 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 no. They had to do the airfare.
Oh.
Well, I'll give dinner
well,
for
no
two.
Wonder they hung Catch up on you. There. We got some more
there you
here.
Go. Dinner for two.
Hi, what size was the gold nugget?
Was it the Welcome Stranger Nugget over in Australia?
How big was that sucker?
Oh, I think it was 100 and some ounces.
Really? Wow. Oh, who are we talking to?
Dick James.
Dick James, okay. Dick James, consolation prize is, how about dinner for two at the North Country Inn?
Great.
Put him
All
down,
right.
And you can pick up your certificate right here at, where are we, Lori?
KFAR.
Got it, I forgot.
Upstairs of the Washington Plaza.
Have the retention span of a gnat. Thanks.
Thank you, Dick.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Oh. Hi. Whoops.
Oh,
goodbye.
Yeah. Hi, you're
hi,
on the
you're
radio.
On the air.
Yeah, hi. I'm sure that gnome had one.
I would say so.
Gnome had it.
The nugget from Gnome.
How big was the gnome nugget?
Oh, it had to be at least 50 pounds.
50-pound nugget from Gnome. Who are we speaking to?
John Mann.
John Mann. Put him in the traditional liars club. Okay. 50-pound nugget from Gnome. We got it. Let's give John Mann a... What are we going to give John Mann? We'll give him something. How about... I'll tell you what, John, it'll be a surprise. When you come in, there'll be something waiting for you. A broken leg. We'll fix you, John. Just come in and a certificate will be here. Dinner for two at Wally's house.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks, John.
Hi, you're on the radio.
Yeah, there's no record now. I guess that down in California, they had one they found in a wagon rut in Sutter County. It was held a record for quite a while till this new one took over. Just for comment. Thank you.
Okay, what's your name?
Bob.
Okay, Bob, what's your last name? This is consolation prize time.
Gert, G-U-R-I-T-Z.
Okay. Okay, I'll tell you what. Come up here. We'll have something for you. We'll figure it out, but there'll be a certificate waiting for you up here.
Okay. Thank you, Michael.
Put Bob down for something, Secretary.
Yeah. You know, there was a nugget they found in San Francisco that it could go either way. It could be 5 or 10 pounds, whatever. Do an ad before we get
something of that size. Well, first of all, we want to thank Laura's Gold Strike for providing these dinners for two every week right here on Alaskan Gold Trails. And y'all know where Laura's is. It's right across from the Daily News Miner. We got another call coming in. Good afternoon. You're on the radio.
Hi.
Turn your radio down, please.
You bet. Hello.
Oh, hello. How are you?
Just fine.
Good.
There was a nugget found in Arizona, just between Tucson and Phoenix.
Uh-huh.
And it was 104 ounces. That's pretty big for that part of Arizona.
It'd make a nice earring for Robo.
Yeah, really.
Yes. She's got big ears.
You bet.
Who are we speaking to?
Steve Linderman.
Okay, Steve, and would you spell that for us?
L-I-N-D-E-M-A-N-N.
Okay, I'll tell you what, Steve, there'll be a certificate up here. We'll figure out what it'll be, but I promise you it'll be something nice.
All right, I enjoy your talk show.
Okay, thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
You know, let's do something different, Lori. Let's be serious.
Okay.
Let's do something different. How about if we have somebody who can tell us a story about mining, something that happened to them when they first came up, or some kind of a funny experience, a bear story, something about mining story.
Sure.
And what we'll do is we'll bribe them.
Okay.
Yes, and maybe we can get Dee from Oxford, and I don't think she's there, but she's probably listening. Maybe they can give them a gold sample, or better yet, how's that for
there you go.
Being on the fence?
That's better.
We could probably get Alaskan prospectors to do some kind of a wonderful thing if somebody
up
with something brilliant, something about... some of the experiences that you've had when you're mining or something that you'd like to share with somebody.
Okay.
And I think right now it's just about time that while we're waiting for everybody to call that you talked about one of the wonderful sponsors that sponsors Alaskan.
Okay,
Gold Trail.
I'd like to talk about Larson's Jewelry. When you think about jewelry, you think about quality, and of course that comes from Larson's Jewelry. When you want quality, you always think about Larson's Jewelry. They're located at 4th and Noble. That's where you can rely on quality and originality, whether you're looking for wedding rings and bands or a special piece for that special person. Larson's Jewelry has been in business since 1946, and they offer full jewelry and goldsmithing
Nelda
service.
Nelda was 15.
Nelda was.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You. You're never supposed to do that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That means they can take raw gold and create rings, bracelets, necklaces, and earrings right on the spot and in a design of your choice. Larson's can also add diamonds, rubies, sapphires, and other gemstones from their large inventory to your new or existing jewelry piece.
All for under $3.
All for under $3.
Oh, that was
110% off sale. They can repair and rebuild jewelry, including shanks, loops, and chains. It's a comfortable feeling when you know you're getting quality as well as value. At Larson's Jewelry, they have a fine selection of of silver sets and crystal that's sure with time to become a family
Swarovski.
Treasure.
Swarovski. Swarovski crystal.
Oh, that's and never mind. And yes. For a special gift that will be long remembered, Swarovski. They now have a few glass etching engraving services. For but listen, folks, Larson's is more than a jewelry store. Their wide selection of beautiful trophies and plaques can be personalized to commemorate a special occasion or achievement, such as surviving the Alaska Gold Trail show without a guest.
Yes.
For your safety and peace of mind, though, Larson's also has a complete locksmithing service, including installation and servicing of all types of locks and safes. And we know that how that works right up here at KFAR. We've had them up many times to help us out. For anything you need, they
locking
have it on
him. Wally in his office.
Yeah, yes. He didn't like that very well, but boy, it was quiet around here.
I got that.
Just remember, at Larson's Can, located at 4th and Noble, they're open 9 to 6 weekdays and 9 to 5 on Saturdays. Visit today or give them a call at 456-4141. That's Larson's Jewelry.
That's
thank you
right
very
behind,
much, Nelda.
That's right behind the counter through the coffee room.
Yes.
Larson's Can. Go ahead.
We got a caller. Have mercy on us, please.
Oh, I'll be happy to have mercy on you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the kind of a story that I want to tell doesn't necessarily have to do with Alaska, but it has to do with somebody finding something that they thought was so fabulous.
Great.
Mm-hmm. All right, when my husband and I were first married, and he was a freshman at a university on the East Coast, we went for a walk above the university in this fantastic forest. There were trees, the sky was as clear, the air was so clear it hurt. This was western New York.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, we were walking up there. All of a sudden, we came across this kind of an ancient stream bed. And we thought, isn't this the sort of place where you'd find minerals and things like this? And we looked down, and honestly, it was like somebody had opened up a huge rock, and there were these fossils just everywhere you looked. Each rock had shells and impressions of leaves and things like this, and we grabbed them. We thought, I bet nobody's even known that these things are here. We took a huge rock and we walked miles with this about 20-pound rock, each one of us taking turns carrying it down into the university area. We thought, if nobody knows about this, we're going to tell them at the museum here at the university, and then they're going to organize expeditions, go up into that hill, and get all those neat rocks and bring them back down here again, because there are just so many of them.
And pay you millions of dollars in royalties.
Millions of dollars, or else just put our names in all these fantastic record books.
Wonderful.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic. Okay, so what we did, we went into the museum, and we put the rock outside, thinking, well, we're not going to tell them right away.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to lead up to it.
Right.
Well, as we walked in the museum door, we kind of looked to the side and found out that the one wall next to the museum was made out of the same stone. Fossil sticking out on this side, fossil sticking out on that side. Walked into the museum doorway, and the wall on the inside was also rocking. Fossils from here to there. Everywhere we looked, there were fossils.
Fossils. And you walked how many miles with the 20-pound
I can't
rock?
Imagine. At least five.
Oh,
with a 15 to 20-pound stone, and we thought to ourselves, well,
we won't tell anybody.
We won't tell anybody. We'll just leave this rock outside, and they'll think it fell off the wall.
I love it. Who are we speaking to?
He's talking to Marge.
Marge. And Marge, your last name?
Zielinski.
Marge Zielinski. Lori, where do we want to send her? Someplace special.
I think we want to send her,
well, okay. We'll
right
her
back to New York.
No. We'll get, how about tonight? You can have dinner for two anywhere you want in New York. I'll tell you what.
Dear.
Come over to KFAR, and we will give you a special super-duper something on a certificate.
Okay.
You
most special
it.
For
fabulous.
A special story.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
You're right. Bye-bye.
That was a hot story.
She's got that fossil sitting on her coffee table right now.
It's a 20-pound rock.
Yeah.
And sponsor me again, darling.
Sponsor you again.
Yes.
Arctic Springs is the sponsor of the minute. Robert, Charlene, and James Johnson own and operate a family business right here in Fairbanks called Arctic Springs. They're located at 285 Alta Way. They started manufacturing leaf springs. Speaking of leaves and fossils and things,
yes.
Leaf springs and U-bolts for all sizes and types of vehicles and heavy equipment. Several years ago, they started this stuff because of their interest in developing a leaf spring manufacturing plant right here in Fairbanks. They became one of the first businesses to be awarded the use of the Made in Alaska logo.
Really?
Yes, for businesses that use Alaskan products and labor. To give you an example of what they can do over there on Alta Way in their 6,000 square foot manufacturing plant, listen
closely
to this.
I have this mental picture of people in this great big room, springing up and down.
On their leaves.
On their leaves. Go ahead.
Yes. Okay.
Let's go.
They manufacture and recondition springs for snow machines, cars, trucks, heavy equipment, and get this, even aircraft.
Really?
Springs can be re-arched and U-bolts cold bent to your specifications, and they can raise and lower your vehicle. What is cold bent, Michael?
What is that?
What, don't they have to heat it up?
Well, I guess they bend it cold. How about if we do this? There will be something super special for someone who can call and tell us what cold bent means.
Very good.
Yes.
Call us at 479-8255.
Yeah.
Arctic Spring handles both standard and custom-made coil springs. Just look what they stock. A complete... Now, look at this, folks.
Get
close to your radio and look at this. Thank you. A complete line of steel, brass, rubber, and Teflon bushings.
Get the phone.
We got a caller. Tell us. What is cold bent?
Cold bent means that they bend them without using any heat to heat it up, because if they use heat to warm the metal before they bend it, it makes it brittle.
Oh. Who are we speaking to?
This is Steve.
Steve. And Steve, your last name?
Spencer.
Social Security number.
Don't have one.
Got it. Okay, Steve.
We'll fix the IRS one way or another.
Thanks. We'll get you something special.
All right.
Yeah, just bring us in your firstborn child and we'll exchange it for something.
I don't have one.
Oh, well, go out and get to work. Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks,
bye.
Steve. Bye-bye.
Okay, now you know what cold bent is.
Can I finish what I was saying
go
now?
Ahead.
They have a complete line of steel, brass, rubber, and Teflon bushings,
yes.
Torsion bar axles for auto trailers, snow machine trailers, and weasels. Those little buggers need those torsion bars, don't they?
Yes,
finally, folks, they build trailers to your specifications, so bring in your
torsion
blueprint.
Bar and your weasel. Go ahead.
Or sketch.
Your blue what?
Blueprints or sketch. Bring it in.
Yes.
They'll build you something.
Good.
In addition, they have two huge 30-inch by 8-foot heat treatment ovens, which can accommodate just about any material that needs heat treating.
Where's this at?
This is at Arctic Springs at 285 Alta Way. That's Bob, Charlene, and James Johnson.
Where's that again?
285 Alta Way.
Who is that?
Bob, Charlene, and James Johnson.
Owns what?
Arctic Springs.
I knew that.
Okay, give them a call. It's 451-8612. You can talk about weasels and springs and leaps and things.
Yes.
And there's a $6,000 manufacturing plant.
Really? $6,000?
No, 6,000 foot manufacturing plant.
I had this picture of a cracker box. That 6,000 feet is pretty good.
Okay, Michael, say something intelligent about Alaska gold.
Well, I'd like to have more.
Okay.
You know, actually, you know, we kid about it, but there is, there's been a tremendous reduction in the amount of gold that has been mined lately. And, you know, obviously there's been a lot of miners put out of business because of rules, regulations, et cetera.
Yeah.
And out of curiosity, maybe there's someone out there who is a miner who has basically been put out of business and can give us some practical reasons why. You know, we hear so many things on the newspaper, the television, and, you know, we read articles, but they really don't give us the guts of something. And maybe if we could talk to somebody who actually, is it, what time is it? Oh,
ooh, the hotline.
The hotline. Grab the
All
hotline.
Right.
Hi.
Hi.
This is me.
Hi.
Oh, hi, me. I thought I was me.
I'm glad you called on the hotline, because you couldn't have gotten in otherwise. Every line into place is going off the hook.
Yeah, we're
right. Well, that's what
them.
They told me to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, well, they called and wanted to know, said you were in a bind, somebody's in the horse pistol, and
yes.
Jim Madonna is out of town.
Yeah.
And they said Michael Dresser wanted me to call him because he's going to tell me everything about mining.
Yes.
And I might just dot the I and cross the T after he lays down the whole document.
Okay.
All right.
I was going to come down there physically, but
yes.
Just before they called, I just began transmitting a file on my computer to another city, and it's going to be going, let's see, I'm up about a third of the way. It's another 40 minutes I'll be transmitting files outside.
Okay.
And
well,
so I can't leave the computer. I'm calling you on the other line.
Great. So I'm going to let you. I have to leave, and that's why Lori's doing this. Lori's eyes just got 12 feet wide. So I'm going to let you and Lori do gold trails, and maybe you can tell us a few stories about what's happened out there in the bush. And by the way, now what Lori will do, Stu, is put you on hold every once in a while, and I'm going to show her how to conference a call if someone wants to talk to you.
Sounds like a winner.
So she's
going to be
put
my
you on
guest,
hold.
Stu?
I am going to be your guest.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Good. So she's going to put you on hold and then grab the other line.
Good afternoon. Hello.
Are you there?
Yeah, it's KFAR Business.
You want the business line?
Yeah.
Oh, no, this is the wrong line for the business line. Let me give you the number to call.
479. 479.
59. 59. 10. 10. This is a recording.
479-5910.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
That was good. Okay.
Okay, Stu, back to Stu.
Now, wait a minute. I'll show you how to do this. If somebody's out there, Stu, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Good. Now, if somebody would please pick up a phone and call 479-8255-TALK. Anybody out there who's a listener, we're going to show Lori how to make a conference call so everybody can speak at one time. So we're going to ask somebody to be
here.
Okay.
It goes.
All right.
Okay, we're going to have a party. Both of them at the same time. Hi, you're on the air.
You got it all figured out?
I guess so.
Just like magic. Hey, Stu, how you doing?
Great.
How's that computer treating you?
Flashing away. Space age communication.
All right. Hey, you know, I wasn't near a phone earlier. I heard you guys talking about the largest gold nugget in the world. And I thought I'd pass along the story, and Stu might also know something about it. A local man who, for obvious security reasons, we won't mention his name, owns the largest private...
Hey, guys, can you hold on? I want to try some magic here, okay?
Oh, magic.
All right, okay. Hang on. Don't go away.
We're going to try a three-way party here. Okay. Magic fingers, Michael.
Is everybody on the line?
I am.
Okay, say, one is on... The person who just called, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Caller number two is on the line? Okay, all together now. Okay, go ahead. You're on the radio.
Yes, sir. I'm a prospector. I'm not a miner, but I've
good.
Really been interested in prospecting up here.
Yeah.
And I got a book from the university. It's the Landsat Linear Features of Mineral Occurrences here in Alaska. And they claim that they have found and mapped over 356 major mineral deposits and several thousand minor metallic mineral deposits.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, a major mineral occurrence up here is a $1 billion deposit. And a minor one is a $1 million deposit.
Yeah.
So we're talking about $356 billion ore deposits that this state had maps of. And I'd just like to know why they're not fishing something like that.
Okay, Stu or the other caller, you guys want to respond? I mean, we've got a whole party going here. Go ahead.
Now, I don't know why they're not responding to some of them. However, I might take an educated guess that there might be some government organizations such as, I hate to use swear words on the phone, but EPA.
Ooh. IPA.
As I say, I hate to use that kind of language in mixed company, but it may be that there are certain overly protective arms of the government that are preventing or, let's say, impeding, and I'm not saying this is so, I'm saying there might be, some regulations impeding the miners from developing certain areas that really are ripe for development. Well, is there any way to correct something like that? That seems like a total, it's just un-American as far as that goes. Well, I would agree with you. What I would suggest, and again, I'm not totally knowledgeable about the whys and wherefores of all the situations that exist, but my suggestion would be to get a hold of as much as you can of that report and send copies of it to our legislators, not in Juneau, but in Washington, and get Murkowski and Stevens and Young behind it. If we can get them behind it and get them saying, let's develop our resources, we have a way to go, and we might have some inroads dug in, and we'd start developing what we have up here.
Oh, well, that's a good idea. I know, yeah, okay.
I'll go along with that.
Actually, Stu speaks the right language. There is volumes and volumes of information available to those who desire to take the time to look for it, just right here at the university, that outline billions of dollars worth of mineral resources, all throughout the state of Alaska. And literally, the miners have had their hands tied. Look at what's going on with down in Southeastern and the attempt to deliver or to put together the molybdenum mines, etc. The investors.
You guys are going to have to speak up a little bit, okay?
Perfect.
Talk loud.
Well, you got too many people on the phone line. The attenuation's getting up.
Mm-hmm.
The investors, the potential miners, are having to spend millions and millions of dollars just to try to get this thing off the ground, which unfortunately, you know, the Alaskan way of life, of course, is based on the individual, and the poor individual out there doesn't have the kind of resources it takes to break through such huge bureaucracies.
You know, one of the things that has always bugged me, and of course I'm not in a position, I don't have the final report, so I can't go out and start stomping around and waving, but the United States Bureau of Mines in Washington hired me about 20 years ago, not quite 20 years ago, to produce two films for them. And I did. I went with a crew from the Bureau of Mines. We flew up to Kotzebue, and then from Kotzebue we chartered out to Cape Beaufort on the Arctic Ocean. And we got there, we had a couple of the Rolagon Nodwell type vehicles with these tires that are massive, massive tires as big as a half a Volkswagen that only had 3 pounds of air so they can go over the tundra and not hurt the posies. And mounted on the back of this vehicle was a giant drill. And I made a movie for Washington on core drilling for coal off the Cape Beaufort on the Arctic Ocean. And I want to tell you, everywhere that drill went into the ground, they'd get it down about 10, 20, 30 feet, and they struck coal. And I mean, I filmed this. I saw samples all over the place. Yet nothing was ever done. Nothing was ever produced. The study was written. The reports were made. We spent weeks up there filming. And then they hired me again about 2 months later when we flew down past Cordova, down near Icy Bay, and I did a movie for the government on oil seeps in southeastern Alaska. And I want to tell you, there's places down there that are no development whatsoever is even being attempted, and there are pools with natural gas bubbling up out of the ground. As a matter of fact, in my film, just to demonstrate it, I'm filming, and they took one guy took a funnel, and he put it over and we're standing in about couple of feet of water, and he put a funnel over where some of the bubbles were coming, held his thumb over it till the funnel filled up. All the time I'm filming, then he took the thumb off and lit a match, and we had about a 3-foot string of flame come up. And this is naturally just bubbling out of the ground 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And
where was this at again?
This was in southeastern near Icy Bay. It's not too far from the Malaspina Glacier. And, you know, one of the things this was before the pipeline was even thought of. And when I used to listen to the controversies with not the conservationists, but the preservationists talk about how this oil and everything was going to destroy our natural life up here, I have films of tar seeps. You know what a tar seep is?
Mm-hmm.
Where natural tar seeps out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I filmed areas with tar seeps and giant pools of oil and tar and beautiful tropical ferns growing out of it. And through tar seeps that naturally came out of the ground in that area, bear prints walking through it.
Hmm.
So it's strange. It's strange that it hasn't seemed to hurt it. But another thing that's strange is I did the film. It went to Washington with all the reports. They paid me. It was a nice job. But nothing has ever followed up on it.
Well, sometimes the wheels grind rather slowly. And speaking of slow grinding wheels, we're a little bit late in getting today's people on the air. I'm really enjoying having you guys with me. Can I get you to hold on for a couple of minutes while we listen to today's people?
Well, I'll call you back later.
Okay, thanks. Anybody else going to hang on?
I'll stand by for you.
Okay, here we go.
And so the judge agreed with Michael Jackson, who claimed Billie Jean is not my lover, she's just a girl who says I am the one. And LaVon Pallas, alias Billie Jean Jackson's $150 million paternity suit against Michael Jackson, has been dropped. There is more on TV this weekend than just the Super Bowl. After the Super Bowl, ABC is premiering a show I hear is a delight, The Wonder Years. And tonight on CBS, Glenn Close and Keith Carradine star in Stones for Ibarra. Glenn says this role was more emotionally fulfilling for her than her one in Fatal Attraction.
It's very life-affirming. Fatal Attraction was something which was very deeply disturbing to do, and it took a lot out of me. I felt that I was fed by Stones for Ibarra.
Steve Martin coming back to the comedy circuit with a special appearance in Atlantic City next month. And good intentions aside, David Bowie and George Harrison say they will not play in a Moscow concert to campaign against drug abuse. I'm Joanna Langfield.
Chasing the chills away from a rainy day, something to warm you up. Wrap your hands around it.
America's cup, America's cup. Lifting copper soup.
A cozy fireside feeling. Feels so good inside.
America's cup, America's cup. Lifting copper soup. America's cup.
How TV Guide changed my life. James Kirby.
Yes, I was running for the office of dog catcher in my town when I read an article in TV Guide on the importance of TV spots for politicians. So my neighbor Herb shot a video of me. When Herb said action, I said, hey, everybody, please vote for me, while petting this puppy we rented. As a result of that article and the video, I'm now running a strong second in both the New Mexico and Utah presidential primaries. Thank you, TV Guide.
Yes, TV Guide. It's the best thing on television.
Okay, we're back again with our guests on the phone line. Hi, guys.
Howdy, howdy.
Welcome back.
Hello.
Thanks for holding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're talking about some of the natural resources that are coming. Stop that. We're talking about some of the natural resources that are popping up right out of the ground and wondering why people don't take advantage of this. Stu, you want to go on about that?
Well, I think, you know, I sort of summed it up there. I don't know what the reason was. It may be that they determined it wasn't marketable, but, you know, one thing that kind of nags in the back of my mind, I don't know if you remember, are you familiar with McCarthy and the Kennecott area?
Not very. McCarthy sounds familiar.
Okay. Have you ever heard talk about rich people? I mean super rich, like Rockefellers
oh,
and Kennedys.
Sure. Oh, sure.
Does the name Guggenheim mean anything to you?
A little bit, yes.
Okay, the Guggenheims are some of the richest billionaires in the world.
They're,
To get a Guggenheim grant, there's the Guggenheim Museum.
Oh, okay.
In other words, the name Guggenheim became synonymous with grant. People
mm-hmm.
didn't say, I was going to get a grant. They'd say, well, I'm going to college, I got a Guggenheim.
Uh-huh.
And it's some of the super rich of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Guggenheims made most of their money down by Cordova in Kennecott, McCarthy area, in the copper mines down there, back around the turn of the century. Now, they took copper out of there in such massive quantities that in order to get it to the ocean, to transport it outside to where it would be milled and smelted, they had to build a railroad. And I've been down there times, I've written stories about the area, and do you know that one of the comments that came out of that whole thing was, and this was about 10 years ago, I forget the name, but it was somebody from Washington said, well, in looking back through the records, it seems that when the Guggenheims realized they needed a railroad to get their ore to a seaport at Cordova, they built a railroad in slightly less than the time our current government would take to make a feasibility study on whether or not the railroad was possible or feasible.
Why do I believe that?
It's true.
Okay, it's time to talk about one of our sponsors, guys. Maybe you can help me out with this. What do you know about Gabe's Truck and Auto? Well, I'll tell you what. Whether it's an auto, light truck, motorhome, or big rig, for the best service in town, it's... What happened there? Okay, for the best service in town, it's Gabe's Truck and Auto Repair. That's just not my opinion, folks. Last year, the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce gave Gabe's Truck and Auto their prestigious Raven About Fairbanks Award for providing the best vehicle service in Fairbanks. Gabe's has two large shops and eight mechanics on hand to serve you. With that much attention, you'll get fast, courteous service and have your vehicle back in a hurry. In addition to engine and general vehicle maintenance, Gabe's can also repair automatic transmissions, realign front ends, and repair mount and balance tires. New and rebuilt engines come with a 12-month or 12,000-mile warranty. As you can see, Gabe's is a one-stop service center, and if you need an IM inspection, Gabe's has a no-pass, no-pay policy. That's right, if you don't pass the inspection, you don't pay at Gabe's. Gabe's also has a special deal for you folks who are getting your vehicles ready for winter. If you have an oil change, it's a little bit late for getting ready for winter, but actually, with the calm weather that we've been having, you may have put this off. So now's the time to think about it. If you get an oil change, filter, and lube, or a tune-up at Gabe's, you'll also get a free winterization inspection. This 30-minute inspection covers such items as heater, antifreeze, check gearboxes, inspect the fan belt, battery, and all fluid levels in your vehicle. Don't forget, Gabe's has towing service. He's got three wreckers that are available 24 hours a day and can handle any size rig. Getting a tow is as easy as calling 456-6156. With this icy weather, you might want to write that number down and put it in your glove box. That's 456-6156. Turn your rag into a ride at Gabe's Truck and Auto, located off Van Horn Road near Metro Field. Give him a call at 456-6156. Okay, we've talked a little bit about some of the natural resources that come right up out of the ground, and we've talked about some of the slow-moving government. What's next on the agenda, Stu?
Well, what did you have in mind?
Oh, I don't know. We should be talking about Alaska prospecting, and speaking of prospecting, here one of our sponsors is Alaskan Prospector. They're on the list. Where's their ad? Alaskan Prospector is a shop over on College Road, and it's run by Lee Madonna. She's a very nice lady, has a lot of stuff in there. In fact, one thing that I was really happy to see were her opals. And I didn't know a whole lot about opals, but she gave me a quick lesson in how to choose opals, what are the best kind of opals to get, how to take care of them. For instance, you really don't want to be out in the very cold weather with them because opals will crack. There are three different types of opals. But anyway, stop by at Alaskan Prospector on College Road. They're closed right now, but they do have their new spring hours coming up very shortly. I'm sure we'll hear about that soon on the show. But that's Alaskan Prospectors on College Road.
That's a neat place.
It is.
I like going in there because it's really not like one of these polished chrome and plastic places. It's a real Alaskana type of atmosphere.
It sure is. It looks like it from the outside, and on the inside you've got genuine Alaskan. You know, one thing that I saw there that I did pick up as a gift, they have hematite items, and I got a pair of dice made out of hematite.
Black diamonds, Alaskan diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, speaking of diamonds,
mm-hmm.
You know that diamonds have been found in Alaska?
I didn't know that.
Matter of fact, I took the pictures. There's a gentleman here in town who found the first diamond. It's not a very large one, but we photographed it for him. He took it up to the university, and some of the people from the mining department said, yes, it is definitely a diamond. It's been written up in some outside papers. I can give you his name off the air. He's rather well known in town, but I don't think I'd want to mention it now.
Okay.
He might want to have him as a guest sometime because he's been around in mining and construction for a long time in Alaska.
That sounds
long,
good.
Long time.
I'll tell you what, we got another call coming in, and I've got three buttons down now. Let me see what I can do to work some magic. I'll put you on hold for just a minute.
All righty.
Hi, you're on the air.
Are opals mined in Alaska?
Not as far as I know of. Does anybody else have anything to say about that? Let me put everybody on here.
But I've got some nice ones, but they're from, I picked them up when I was in Australia. I don't believe there's any up here, but I could be wrong.
I just wondered, Lori was talking about, you know, opals at the Alaskan Prospect.
Mm-hmm.
I just wondered if they were mined here in Alaska or not.
Well, I know they come from Australia.
That's not in Alaska, I don't think.
I don't believe there are.
I'm new here, come on.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Marty.
I love these small towns. You know, I had Gabe working on my motorhome here earlier this year, and I was
mm-hmm.
down at Jim, to see Jim at Madonna Center at the Prospector, and I got one of those.
Can I ask you to hold on just a minute?
We lost somebody.
Yeah, we did. Hold on.
Hi, are you there? Hello, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you're there. Let me put you on hold.
That one's not there. There we go, guys. We're back.
Okay. Well, I was just going to hang up myself, but I bought some opal down at the Alaskan Prospector,
mm-hmm.
and they've got some beautiful stuff down there.
Brilliant colors.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And Stu's right, that is a terrific little place down there. And if there's anybody ever want to ask any question about mining, Mr. Madonna is the one that knows. I mean, he is the
he's a professor that has not missed a class. I don't believe one class in, I don't know how many years, maybe 15 years of teaching.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that takes a lot of dedication. So.
He's got a lot to say about mining, a lot of knowledge in that head of his. I don't know when he's going to be coming back. He's gone on some sort of convention or seminars that he's at, gathering more information for us to help out with the show and with his job. Why don't we go ahead and move on to another sponsor?
He's probably at a plus five seminar.
A plus five seminar?
Yeah, you stay there until the temperature at home is a plus five above.
I agree. Well, Jim, if you can hear us wherever you are, call up and defend yourself quickly. Let's talk about Hector's Welding, located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway. They've been serving Alaska for over 40 years. Their 14,400 square foot shop is capable of handling the most demanding work quickly and efficiently. Listen to this list of services. They can replace dozer blade liners. They also rebuild loader buckets and ripper shanks. And they do heavy equipment repairs and modifications. And mining equipment fabrication is their specialty, including sluice boxes, conveyors, feeders, grizzlies, and screening plants. They also fabricate specialized riffles and punch plate. They have portable welding units for fast on-site repairs. Hector's fully equipped fabrication shop is ready to serve you, so bring your ideas and blueprints. It's a well-known fact that anywhere in the interior where the big jobs are done, men in the field depend on Hector's for proven, rapid, reliable work. Try to say that three times fast. Rush jobs are no problem because, remember, Hector's Welding has been getting the job done and done right for 40 years. And now an all-new service, Flocculence. Hector's is the gel log distributor. There's a free test kit that's available, and all you have to do is stop out at Hector's and pick up the kit. That's again at 13 Mile Richardson Highway. Their phone number is 488-6432. Wherever Alaska miners are working, Hector's is the first name in gold recovery equipment. And did you know it's bonanza time? Robbie at Tip Top Chevrolet says all 1987 trucks must go. They're having a giant year-end truck sale for power, performance, and comfort. You can't beat a Chevrolet truck. The six-year, 60,000-mile limited warranty is standard, so come on in, look them over, take a test drive. No reasonable offer will be refused. That's Tip Top Chevrolet, and they have what you want, whether it's gas, diesel, two- or four-wheel drive, small, comfortable, and sporty, or a full-size work truck. Robbie is ready to deal. For the best selection and the best prices, stop in today at Tip Top Chevrolet, 1916 South Cushman. Listen to the components on these sale models. The S10 Blazers have a powerful 2.8-liter V6 with electronic fuel injection. They have a smooth ride with fully independent front suspension standard. Bucket seats in front are standard on the S10s, and all units in stock have four-wheel drive. On the full-size pickups, they have an electronic fuel injection also, and that's standard. A Vortec V6 engine that's one of the most powerful standard engines in a half-ton pickup. Fleet-side or step-side boxes are available. Crew cab or bonus cab is available, and they're gas or diesel-powered. That's Tip Top Chevrolet with pickups on sale, 1916 Cushman Street. Give them a call at 452-8211. Back to Alaskan Gold Trails.
You know, Laurie?
Mm-hmm.
I
think I lost you. Well, sorry. Why don't you try calling me back again? We got mixed up on the phone line somehow. I promise I didn't touch anything. How's that?
You're okay. You all cut me off at the pass.
I'm sorry. I knew what you were going to say.
Anyhow, you know, you talk about gold nuggets and the size of gold, and
mm-hmm.
It's a shame that you weren't up here about 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah?
Or you would have seen something that happens. We were hoping it to happen more often. They were planning it to, but it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. It was the gold auction and sale at Alaskaland.
Oh.
And as a matter of fact, I was in it a lot closer than a lot of people because that was another one of those big jobs I landed from outside. NBC had hired me. This was before the days of transmitting stuff from television over telephone and satellite, so they had to buy everything on film.
Mm-hmm.
So I filmed about a five-minute segment of the auction for the Today Show outside.
Oh.
And this gold auction, I don't think Alaska has ever seen the like of it before and probably never will again. There were more armored cars and police around the Civic Center at Alaskaland than you can imagine. There were, I don't want to say tons, but there were pounds and pounds and pounds of gold nuggets on display and on sale. And I'm talking big nuggets. There were pound nuggets that were a pound and more, several pounds. And maybe somebody else from one of the mining community who was more involved in showing and selling at that great auction, the first and so far only major gold auction in interior Alaska, might call in now and tell us what he was involved with. It wasn't more than 10, 15 years ago. There must be somebody out there listening who was involved with it.
Right. Give us a call. The number is 479-8255. Join the party. We're having lots of fun up here. Hey, Stu, how would you like to strike it rich?
Anytime.
Okay, well, that's exactly what'll happen if you travel out to 16 Mile Chena Hot Springs Road and dine at Two Rivers Lodge. What a surprise. What an evening you'll have. An enchanting log structure with frontier decor, complete with a solarium overlooking a beautiful tree-bordered lake. What a pleasant setting for your dining pleasure. And it really is beautiful. I've been out there and eaten there and very much enjoyed the view. If you enjoy interesting new tastes, the menu alone will be exciting. Their appetizers include such delicacies as shrimp cocktail, stuffed mushroom caps, and the one I enjoy, hot and spicy chicken. I guarantee you'll love it. Jim also loves it, and he's had it before. He loves it very, very much. He goes there, just orders up a big pile of it, and buries himself. This is a complete list of main dishes, including veal plate, seafood chicken, and of course, the pleasures of steaks. For dessert, Jim's favorite is grapefruit pie, a fluffy body with bits of grapefruit spread throughout to add a delightfully tangy taste. If you want drinks, they have anything you might want, and perhaps some you've never heard of. And don't forget the Two Rivers Special Coconut Brownies. That's Two Rivers Lodge, located at 16 Mile Chena Hot Springs Road. For reservations, call them at 488. Hang on there, Stu. Back.
Okay. You know, you missed one thing.
Okay, what did I miss?
At Two Rivers, one of the most fantastic appetizers you'll ever taste anywhere is their soft shell crab.
Oh.
And that's, now this may sound weird unless you've experienced it,
mm-hmm.
but a soft shell crab is one you eat the shell and all.
That does sound weird.
Oh, it is fantastic.
Well, how is that a regular crab or is it a certain type of crab?
It's a soft shell crab and it's a young crab and it's delicious. I mean, you eat the pincers, the claws, the shell.
Stupid.
I'm serious.
I'm going to have to go out there and try it. Are you
going
to join me?
You try it, and if you don't like it, I'll pay for it.
Okay, you're going to be there with me.
Anytime.
We got another call joining us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Tom DeLong. I was listening to Stu talk about back there in the McCarthy and Kennecott area.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing he did is he opened a real interesting topic, and that's when the federal government started interfering with development in Alaska. If you read about that area, you'll find out the reason they built that railroad in 4 years. And the reason was because the federal government said anyone who made a right-of-way or tried to establish a right-of-way for reasons of making a railroad had 4 years to complete that section. So in other words, if a company came in and surveyed a section of the railroad and said we were going to go ahead and go through this mountain pass or go through here, they had 4 years to build that railroad through there. Basically, the federal government tried everything possible back then to try and cut that mine from going through. There was coal that they could have developed. There was oil they had discovered down around Cordova. And the federal government did everything they could back then to stop mining development. And I think you're seeing a lot about that today. And I'm kind of starting to believe in Joe Vogler's belief that the federal government is attempting to have an unstable population up here. The only stable population they want to see up here is the military. And other than that, they're firmly trying to oppose any type of development that would establish a full-time stable population up here. And
well,
I just thought that that's kind of an interesting point, and a lot of the miners who are having trouble today could look back in there and see that it's not something new.
Well, I thank you for your thought.
You bet.
Now, he's 100% right, and you know, I'll give you a little more, for instance, about what he's saying not being new. I've read this before on one of Michael's shows. There's a book by Sam C. Dunham.
Just a minute, Stu, before we get that beeping sound again.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. There's a book, an old book called The Goldsmith of Nome by Sam C. Dunham. The book was published in 1901.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a copy of it, and it's a rare book. And this Sam Dunham, he was a government statistical expert of the Department of Labor, and that's from 1897 to 1898. And from 1899 to 1900, he was a special agent of the 12th Census. And he was sent to Alaska to bring back reports to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And he finally got kicked out of his job because he wrote poems.
Oh.
And he wrote poems telling how Uncle Sam was abusing the Alaskans.
Oh, no.
As a matter of fact, in this little book, the preface, says, and this preface now was written in 1901 in Washington, D.C. on March the 1st.
Okay.
These verses were written while the author was under assignment to Northern Alaska in 1897-1898 as a statistical expert of the Department of Labor, and in 1899 and 1900 as a special agent of the 12th Census. They are the free expression of some sentiments which official courtesy quite properly excluded from his formal reports to the Commissioner of Labor and Director of the Sentence.
Okay.
Most of them have appeared in various newspapers, the New York Sun, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then he finally sums up the preface by saying, in 1900, Alaska paid into the Treasury of the United States revenues averaging $1,207.43 for every day in the year. For what?
Uh-oh. But I don't know. I'll tell you what, Stu, I very much appreciate your joining me and helping me out with this. We've run out of time. We're going to have to head into the news in progress. Thank you very much, Stu Rothman. Thank you, sponsors of Alaska Gold Trails. That's Larson's, Hector's Welding, Two Rivers Lodge, Gabe Truck and Auto, B&L Pawn Shop, Arctic Spring, the King Cab Company, K&K Recycling, Alaskan Prospector, Arctic Winter Games was supposed to call in, but we missed them, Oxford Assaying, and Tip Top Chevrolet bringing you Alaska Gold Trails every Friday. Be sure to tune in. This is Lori Backus, KFAR, broadcasting out of Fairbanks, joining the news in progress.
For Mrs. Paul's Fish Sticks, here's Mr. Paul.
I've been after the missus to call her crispy, crunchy fish sticks, crispy, crunchy filet sticks. Why not? The filet is the best part of the fish, and it's the only part the missus ever uses. She won't put her picture on the box, neither. And she's a fine-looking woman.
Mrs. Paul's crispy, crunchy fish sticks, made from filets and nothing but filets.
If it's not Mrs. Paul's, throw it back.
Aspirin, does it really help ward off heart attacks? New study out of Britain says no. Correspondent Gary Matsumoto.
Professor Richard Dahl of Oxford University says his study contradicts findings in America that suggest an aspirin every other day can reduce the risk of heart attacks.
The result of our study showed no effect of taking the aspirin.
However, Dahl does concede that taken together, British and American research indicates a daily dose of aspirin can reduce the number of non-fatal heart attacks by about a third.
That's Gary Matsumoto. Amtrak traffic still slow along the northeast coast.